public discourse these days is explosive. Fueled by opposing values, sometimes these debates erupt into fireworks. So, how do we bring calm to a fiery exchange? And how do we win an audience with those who despise our personal opinions? Today, on Insightful Living, Chuck Swindoll continues his brand new series on the fruit of the Spirit. In this next study, we're discussing two virtues that are powerful tools for de-escalating emotion-filled encounters. These two traits are kindness and goodness. Chuck called today's message, Courteous Twins in a Corrupt Culture.
It occurred to me that in Ephesians 4, the last 9 verses of the chapter, we find what I would title Christianity 101. It's the most basic information about the Christian life you could find right here. Even spells it out so that anyone who can read any language in which this is written will understand what it's saying. Now it comes at it through sort of a backdoor delivery, and it doesn't mince words. It points out things that we tend to fall into when we are oblivious to our culture. The first in verse 25 is that we tend to lie. We do. We live in a lying culture. He says clearly, stop telling lies. Let's tell one another the truth. It's a good place to begin if you want to do something kind and good for the other person. Be known as one who always tells the truth. Now, the next one comes as a rather shocking surprise. He says, don't let anger control you. You say, Chuck, don't you remember you're talking to Christians? I do remember. I do. And some of you live in uncontrolled anger. Your anger is right at the edge. It's brimming. It doesn't take much to light the fuse. And you lash out. You're by nature angry. You've developed the habit and weren't blocked from that while you were growing up by wise, discerning, and disciplined parents, so you're now on your own as an adult, angry. So the text says very clearly, don't let your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Because when you do, it's like wet cement. It sets up overnight. It hardens. And you build up a little reservoir that you begin to put other angry thoughts into. So stay up later and work it out so that you don't go to bed angry. You may have to give up a little sleep, but it's worth it because Scripture says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Let's just take it literally. If you hold a grudge, you're lingering in anger. You're soon going to become a bitter person. Those with grudges, truth be told, are borderline bitter people. You may have a list. You will find it's almost impossible to pray for someone you've put on an anger list. So get rid of those lists. In fact, it goes on to say, anger gives the devil a foothold. Did you know that? The adversary gets a foothold in our lives when we linger in anger. We start thinking like the adversary. There's no way for believers to live. You don't want your life to be known by that. So deal with anger. Doing good and being kind will help you. Anger has no place in a good, kind life. And if that isn't enough, he says, if you're a thief, you go, Chuck, you're talking to Christians. I know. It's easy to take paper clips from the office. You didn't buy those paper clips. That isn't your paper. You see what I'm saying? It comes out in little ways, and we forget that it's a problem. Many, many believers steal from others. So quit. When you do good and you live kindly, you don't want to take anything that isn't yours. I sound like a parent, don't I? This is parent talk, but maybe your parents didn't drive this home. And how about our words? You see what it says? Wow. Let everything you say be good and helpful. So get rid of all foul and abusive language. You still curse? You still have the habit? It's a habit, you know. And I dealt with it constantly among others in the Marine Corps. I got so sick of foul language, I could scream. I got so sick of abusive comments made about women, I could scream. It's all over the barracks. I was ashamed of my fellow Marines. I mean, don't you have an education large enough, at least through junior high school, to know that it's a lack of vocabulary when you've got to use a vulgar word instead of the right word? It's a habit. Believers who curse, I've heard it all the way through the ministry. I have. Are you one of them? If you want to do good and if you want to be kind, cursing will never convey that. It's insulting. It's vulgar. It's a characteristic of the world culture. But you see, you're oblivious to it because, like the fish, you don't know you're wet. You don't know the culture has taken its roots in you. So this list is helpful. He finally wraps it up by saying, get rid of all bitterness and rage and harsh words and slander and all types of evil behavior. My sister used to say it like this, wouldn't it be good if we would just be nice? Just be nice. I think she was right. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. The world is waiting for this, even though it doesn't realize that it can happen. You will stand out like a beam of light in a dark, deep cavern when you are good and kind. You will lose nothing with your children. You can discipline them and still be good and kind. You can still be a good boss and be good and kind. I was reading one of my favorite Christian writers just this past week, and I came across a story I'd forgotten about when I'd read the book earlier. The book is titled Fearfully and Wonderfully Made by Philip Yancey and Paul Brand. Paul Brand's a medical doctor whose specialty was working with lepers. Philip, as I said, was a Christian writer. And when he got to this last part of this particular chapter, he included this story that I want to read to you. And I want you to hear every word. It ties it all together, what I've been talking about. Dr. Harry F. Harlow loved to stand by the animal cages in his University of Wisconsin laboratory and watch the baby monkeys. Intrigued, he noticed that the monkeys seemed emotionally attached to little cloth pads in their cages. They caressed the pads. They cuddled them. They treated them much like children treat teddy bears. In fact, monkeys raised in cages with cloths on the floors grew huskier and healthier than monkeys in cages with wire mesh floors. Was the softness and touchability of the cloth an important factor? Harlow asked himself. He decided to construct an ingenious surrogate mother made out of only terry cloth, with a light bulb behind her to radiate heat. The cloth mother featured a rubber nipple attached to a milk supply from which the baby monkeys would feed. They adopted her immediately, enthusiastically, and why not? She was always comfortingly available, and unlike real mothers, never roughed them up or bit them and pushed them aside, meaning monkey mothers, of course. After proving that baby monkeys could be raised by inanimate surrogate mothers, stay with us, Harlow next sought to measure the importance of the mother's touchable, tactile characteristics. So he put 8 baby monkeys in a large cage that contained the terry cloth mother, plus a new mother made only of wire mesh. Harlow's assistants controlled the milk flow to each surrogate mother, taught 4 of the baby monkeys to nurse from the terry cloth mother, and the other 4 to nurse only from the wire mesh surrogate mother. Each baby monkey could get milk only from the mother assigned to it. A startling trend developed almost immediately. All 8 baby monkeys spent almost all their waking time, 16 to 18 hours per day, huddled next to the terry cloth mother. They hugged her, they patted her, they perched on her. Monkeys assigned to the wire mesh mother went to her only for feeding and then scooted back to the comfort and the protection of the terry cloth mother. When frightened, all 8 would seek solace by climbing onto the terry cloth mother. Harlow concluded, "We were not surprised to discover that contact comfort was an important basic affectional or love variable, but we did not expect it to overshadow so completely the variable of nursing. Indeed, the disparity is so great as to suggest that the primary function of nursing is that of ensuring frequent and intimate body contact of the infant with the mother. Certainly, he adds, man cannot live by milk alone. In another experiment, some baby monkeys were raised in cages with only wire mesh surrogate mothers. They too approached her only for feeding, and many of these babies did not survive. Though all were well fed, those who did reacted to stress by cowering in a corner, screaming, and hiding their faces under their arms. I begin this message with fish and water, and now I end it with monkeys in cages, but this message is nothing about fish or monkeys, nothing about water or cages. It's about you and me becoming oblivious to our culture and forgetting the value of our being terry cloth Christians, approachable, comforting, caring, affectionate. There is no way I could even measure the value of a world full of Christians like that. Our evangelism would soar. For people, when they're around that kind of kindness and goodness, have to know the secret. It's the one who died on the cross. He was like that. They had a culture in that first century. It was shaped mainly by Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, all of whom were wire mesh. And when they heard Jesus, that is the people in the towns, in the villages, heard him, they gathered by the thousands, because no one spoke like that. And when he did speak and delivered his first of at least the best known sermon, the one where he delivered on the Mount, his key words in that sermon were, "Do not be like them," referring to those Pharisees standing around the back of the group. Don't be like them. Why? Well, because there's no attraction to that. There's no interest in being like that. I want my life changed. I'm like that by nature. I want to be available, comforting, gracious, forgiving. I want to have a clean mouth. I want to have a good attitude. I want to speak the truth. I want them to know when they come near, I'll tell them the truth. I'll never lie again. I'll never steal again. Because I want to be a terry cloth believer that people can't stay away from. And as soon as they get close, they want to know, how come you're so different then? And then they'll name most others. Because the world is full of wire mesh. Even the words are harsh, wire mesh. May I say to you who have been offended by wire mesh Christians, I'm sorry. Even though they may not apologize, they may not even realize how harsh they are, I want you to know that your offense quite likely is keeping you from kingdom living. And I can't go back and relive history with you and take that away. And there's a proverb that says, someone offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Their offense is like the bars of a castle. So I invite you to come away from the bars of a castle and to know that not every Christian is like the one who offended you and turned you off and treated you so badly. May God soften us to become people who are genuinely kind and good. And may you who have not known Christ come to know him now, today. Please bow your heads. Just sit quietly for a moment. If there's never been a time in your life when you've trusted in Christ, just take him the gift of eternal life, freely given to you, but bought at the price of one's death, even Christ's, who paid for your sins completely and in full. Now's the time to come to him. Please connect with our ministry. Let us help you get going in the right direction and help you live past the offense of yesterday. Thank you, dear Father, for your ministry today through Ephesians 4 and a statement from the Proverbs and another from the Psalms and other portions of Scripture. Thank you for ministering through this story of the terry cloth and wire mesh surrogate mothers. Thank you for the way it's going to impact how we treat other people and become winsome in our walk with Christ. In his gracious name we pray. Everyone said, amen.
Perhaps you're among those who, as Chuck Swindoll said, are ready to pursue a relationship with God. Well, we urge you to take your next steps today. Our ministry team at Insightful Living UK would love to hear from you. So please call us on 0800 787 9364. Chuck called today's message, Courteous Twins in a Corrupt Culture. It's among 9 sermons in a brand new teaching series in which Chuck explores each fruit of the Spirit. To help you dig deeper on your own, Chuck's creative team has put together a workbook for you. The intent is to give you a place to study alongside him while jotting down your own notes and observations about the fruit of the Spirit. We call this resource our Searching the Scriptures Bible Studies Collection, and you can order your copy right now by going to insightforliving.org.uk. And then we're also pleased to offer you a brand new booklet from Chuck. It's called How to Follow a Giant. Chuck describes what it was like to follow a great leader. It's deeply personal. Chuck includes some fascinating glimpses into his family of origin and how his family relationships impacted his future ministry. And his booklet gives us a biblical lesson on how to pass the baton to the next generation of leaders. Again, his booklet is called How to Follow a Giant, and you're invited to request a copy with your much-needed donation this month to support the ministry of Insightful Living UK. So please visit us online for more details. go to insightforliving.org.uk. I'm Terry Boyle, inviting you to join us when Chuck Swindoll describes the biblical definition of a faithful friend on Thursday on Insight for Living. The preceding message, Courteous Twins in a Corrupt Culture, was copyrighted in 2023 and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.